Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 28. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 737. Beginning with verse 23, we will read responsively through verse 28. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 23 through 28, and in your Scofield Bible, page 737. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches, and scatter the cummin, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley, and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cummin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cummin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And let's pray. Thank you for this good day. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, your care for us each. We're fortunate people. We're fortunate to be free. We're further fortunate to be a part of the ministry of this great church. And thou hast blessed us with a man of God. Truly, thou hast been gracious beyond words. Help us to know this morning our obligation, our responsibility to hear thy word and to apply it to our lives. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Without your turning to it, I want to reread just a little portion of what we read a while ago. For the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cummin, but the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cummin with a rod. But red corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the fitches, the cummin, and the cornbread. The fitches, the cummin, and the cornbread. I need to get this microphone so I can use it. Put this one over here. Well, I'll make a mistake. Our Heavenly Father, for these many years, I've stood behind this piece of wood, read the scripture, and spoken from it. I was reminded this morning by one of the men in my office before I came in that I've been pastor of this church now for 1/3 of its history. I pray you to help me today to give to these people exactly what they need. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Let me share with you this morning a little bit of sweet and wonderful truth from Isaiah chapter 28. If I can get this microphone to behave. That microphone reminds you of your wife. Not mine, yours. God came to his people and he said to his nation of Israel, you're about to go through some tough times. He did not necessarily want them to go through tough times, nor did he tell us exactly why they were going through these tough times. And neither can you know why. It may be because God is trying to punish us, not because he wants to get back at us, but because he wants to use us. He has to remind us that sin does not bring forth happiness, so he causes sin to hurt somewhat, so we will avoid it later on. But God says you're about to go through some tough times. Are you listening? He said you're going through some very, very tough times. Now, you said before it starts, before I have to put you through these tough times, I want to give you an illustration. He said the illustration deals first with fitches. Now, fitches, he said secondly, he said it deals with coming. And thirdly, it deals with bread made from corn. This is not what we'd call cornbread, but he said thirdly, it's bread. Now, he said each of these things is different. For example, fitch is a spice that's used for fragrance, something like that. You've seen it. You've used it in your house. That's what the fitches are, spice used for fragrance. Now, he said the second thing I want you to notice is the coming. Now, what is the coming? The cumin is a little something like sesame seed. It's used for flavoring. You've seen it on top of rolls and on top of crackers. Just plain old sort of a sesame seed kind of a thing. Now, God said these two things must be threshed. He said the fitches, that's the fragrance. And the cumin, that's the flavoring. Now, he said there's a third substance I want to call to your attention, and that's bread. Now, he said each of these things must be threshed. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that fragrance is not as important as flavoring. And flavoring is not as important as bread. The substance. Now, all are important. You have all three in your house. You have some things that you use for fragrance, like the fitches. Some things you use for flavoring, like the cumin. Maybe your spice cabinet, if you please. There's some things that you use, listen to me now, listen to me, young people, for the basics, like the bread. Now, God said the fragrance is not as important as the flavoring. And the flavoring is not as important as the food. You got those three things in bread. You got the bread itself. You got the flavoring of the bread. And then the sweet. Did you ever pass by a bakery and smell it? Oh, my soul. Nothing quite as lovely as the fragrance of a bakery. Unless it's Fannie Mae candy store. But anyway. Now, God said that all three of these substances must be threshed. But you don't thresh these three substances exactly alike. God said, for example, he said this matter of the fitches, he said when you thresh that, he said you use a stick. So you take a stick, small stick, and you thresh the fitches. Now, that's for fragrance. Now, you said when you thresh the cumin, which is for flavoring, he said you get a rod or a bigger stick. Now, you don't need a big stick like this to thresh the fitches. That's just for fragrance. But he said, when you come down to something like the flavoring, that's more important than the fragrance. And so you got to thresh that a little more vigorously, because that is the flavoring. Now, he said, when time comes to thresh the corn and make the bread. Are you listening? Are you listening? He said, when time comes to make the thresh the corn, use a threshing machine. Now, he said you don't use the threshing machine on the fitches, because the fitches don't need that kind of threshing. They're just for fragrance. You don't need a big stick for the fitches, because the fitches don't need a big stick. They're just for the fragrance. You got to use a bigger stick, he said, on the cumin, because that's for the flavoring, and that's more important than the fragrance is. Now, he said, that means you use the bigger stick on the cumin, not the bigger stick on the fragrance, but the bigger stick on the flavoring. But he said, you don't use a threshing machine on the fitches. You don't use a threshing machine on the cumin. But to get the bread, you got to use the threshing machine. Now, listen, God is saying to his people, you're going to have to go through some suffering. Now, some of you are going to go through a little suffering because I've chosen you for fragrance. But some of you are going to have to go through more suffering than that because I've chosen you for flavoring. But he said a few of you are going to go through bigger suffering than that because I've chosen you for cornbread. I've chosen you for the food. Now, you ever wonder why some people suffer more than others? Some people are the fragrance, and God knows we need them. We need those sweet, sweet spirit people who brighten our presence and make us feel better because we're there. We need those people who are happy, and those people who are peaceful, and those people that make a room brighter, and their very presence in a room is like a sweet scent or a sweet fragrance. But those people have to go through some threshing. Now, then we need those people that flavor. Those people that are not the main bread, but they flavor the bread. And we need those people. We need those people we need the substitutes on the bench. We need those that are not the star players. Yes, we need the Michael Jordans. Yes, we need the star players, the Scottie Pippins. We need them. But we also need those little players. What's that guard's name that shoots so well? He's Kerr. We also need the Steve Kerrs. But now God said this. If you're going to be a flavoring, you're going to suffer more punishment than the fragrance. But if you're going to be the bread, if God's going to use you to be the bread, you're going to suffer more than the flavoring or the fragrance. Now the thing you do, ladies and gentlemen, is this. You just simply present yourself. You say, preacher, how can I know whether I'm the fragrance, the flavoring, or the cornbread? You can't know it. Mrs. Hiles and I, 50 years ago this Tuesday night, couple of kids. I was 7, she was 4. Almost that bad. But a couple of kids. We just yielded ourselves. We had no idea that someday I'd preach to this crowd of people. When I enrolled in college, I enrolled in secondary education as well as Bible, because I knew I'd never pastor a church big enough to pay me a full-time salary. And that's the way it's worked out. But I knew I'd never have a church. And so I thought I'd have to teach school Monday through Friday and pastor on the weekend. Little did we understand, but we presented ourselves. It may be that God wanted me to be a country preacher like I thought he would, or pastor some little church in some little small town in East Texas like I thought I would. If that's the case, God had to thresh me, maybe with a little stick. Or it may be that God wanted to use me in some larger capacity, and it may be that God had to use a big stick. But we didn't have any idea that someday God was going to use us in a great church like this. We didn't have any idea that someday God was going to help us to found a college that was going to influence America, and yet even the whole world. We didn't have any idea that night when they lasted me to preach. We were married. We had no idea that night that our boys would circle the globe with the gospel of Christ. We had no idea that we had pastored a church and a college that would influence a whole nation. We had no idea that scores and scores of missionaries would cover the globe. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You listen carefully to me. It hasn't come without some threshing. It may be this morning that God wants you to be the fragrance, the fitches, if you please. And we need somebody to be the fitches. And it may be that's all God wants you to be. Or it may be that God wants you to be the cumin, or the flavoring, if you please. Or it may be that God wants you to be the main course of the bread, the cornbread. Look at me, if you please. But what you do is you say, dear God, I don't want my own will. I want your will.
and I yield myself. You make, if you want me to be the sweet fragrance of the fitches, that's what I want to be, and take that little stick and thresh me. If you want me to be a flavoring like the cumin, and then take that big stick and thresh me. But dear God, if you want me to bless somebody in a great capacity and have a big work, then God, you take the threshing machine and run that threshing machine over me. I'm saying this morning, yield yourself. That's all you have to do. And let God decide what you're going to be. God wants some of us to be sweet fragrances. I look out and see Mamie Brown sitting out there. What a sweet fragrance. What would I do without her sitting out there? 36 years and 2 months, she stood like a rock of Gibraltar. I recall she was president of a Sunday school class 36 years ago. A class where the teacher was against me. We came through our battle. Mamie Brown was a tall, stately, dignified-looking person. She hadn't always been a little white-headed woman like she is now. But she's a tall, stately, looks like could be an attorney or a female doctor. And she stood in that class and she said, "He's our pastor. We've called him here. He deserves a chance." And for 36 years, what a fragrance she's been. I think about Glenn Smith back there. I wish he was there this morning. I think about these 36 years of loyalty and faithfulness. So I told him the other day, I said, you, God spells loyalty, G-L-E-N, and I-V-A-M-A-E-S-M-I-T-H. And for these years, Glenn Smith doesn't say much. And he hasn't been a great leader of this church. He just signed the checks and worked on the deacon board. But every time you see him, you feel better because you saw him. I'm saying if God chooses you just for a sweet-smelling fragrance, then let him take the little stick out and thresh you and hurt you and cause you to suffer and say, "Glory to God, I get to be a sweet-smelling fragrance for Jesus Christ." It may be that God wants you to be a Wendell Evans. Or a Marlene Evans. Marlene Evans and Wendell Evans never came to God and said, "Dear God, we want to be cornbread." They're corn pone, but they didn't say, "We want to be cornbread." They simply said, "We want to be what you want us to be." If you want us to be a fragrance, take that little stick out and thresh us. If you want us to be a flavoring, take that bigger stick out and thresh us. God had something more. God had a college for Wendell Evans to lead. He had a college that needed a president for it. He needed a woman to be an influence around America and yet be faithful and loyal to her own church and loyal and faithful to her own preacher. And God said, "I can't use just the stick. I can't use the little stick and I can't use the rod. If I make a Wendell Evans, I've got to use the threshing machine. I've got to bring the steel out." And boy, hasn't he done so. Dr. Evans, 2 diseases. Neither will kill him, but neither is curable. Mrs. Evans sitting back there this morning wondering how long she'll live. Wondering if the cancer's growing. Wondering if it's bigger. Wondering how what support's going to be next time. But let me tell you what God has done. God has taken that big old threshing machine and God has said, "I want to bless a nation with Dr. Wendell Evans. I want to bless a nation with Marlene Evans." And to do so, a little stick like this. I'm losing pins up here. A little stick like that won't do it. And a big stick like this won't do it. I've got to have the threshing machine. And God took the threshing machine. And he said, "Wendell, I don't want to do this. And Marlene, I don't want to do this. But I need somebody to be the cornbread. I need somebody to bless America. I need someone to build a college. I need someone to influence preacher boys." And God put the old threshing machine. And if God's put the threshing machine on you, stand up and say, "Well, glory, God's going to use me." Susanna Wesley never thought she'd influence nations. She just took her little boys, 19 of them. John was the 17th. She just took those little boys and gave her life to them. 1 hour a week she'd spend alone with each boy. Do some of you gals good to turn that box off and spend some time training your kids too. Susanna Wesley didn't say, I'm going to influence the world. She came in and said, here I am, dear God. If you want me to have the fragrance of the fitches, that's okay. Use the little rod. If you want me to have the flavoring of the coming, that's okay. Use a bigger rod. But if you want me to bless the world, okay. Take me and use the threshing machine for me and let me suffer. She had no idea when she knelt and said, dear God, I want to be used of you in any way you want me. A fragrance, okay. A flavoring, okay. The cornbread, okay. She didn't know when her husband was in jail. John Wesley and Charles Wesley's father was a jailbird, wouldn't work, wouldn't pay his debts, and spent much of his life in jail. And while that little woman reared 19 children by herself, she did not know if she'd be the fragrance of the fitches, or the flavoring of the coming, or the essence of the meal in the cornbread. All she knew was she wanted to be what God wanted her to be. Little gal, Italy, Texas. Italy, Texas. Whoever heard of Italy, Texas. 1,200 people. Little town 40 miles south of Dallas. A little lady married to an alcoholic. God said, I want to use you. Coastal Natty Hiles looked up and said, here I am. She did not know this scripture, but what she was saying was, I want to be what you want me to be. If you want me to be a fragrance, okay. If you want me to be a flavoring, okay. If you want me to be the substance of the bread, okay. God took up his big threshing machine. He bypassed the stick. He bypassed the rod. Took that big threshing machine. He said, I've got to take your mother away from you. Why, you're just 9 years old. I've got to make you a husband. Your husband's going to have to leave you. I'm making something. I'm threshing. Your first little girl's going to be afflicted. She'll never walk or talk. She'll die when she's 7 years old. Your second little girl's going to have measles when she's 7. And she's going to die. And God kept on threshing. And kept on threshing. You listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Your name will never be emblazoned on the headlines of the marquee of religious history unless God uses the threshing machine on you. But my mother never said, I want to change a nation. I want to rear a boy on my lap that's going to be used of God to send out 1,000 preacher boys, praise his name, 1,000 preacher boys and missionaries around the world and pastor the largest church in America. My mama didn't say that. She just said, here I am, here I am. If you want me to be a fragrance, use the little rod. A flavoring, use the big rod. If you want me to be the bread, the cornbread, then use the threshing machine. Ladies and gentlemen, just be what he wants you to be. Miles and I stood in that pastor's study 50 years ago, Tuesday night. A couple of kids, too young to get married, but the war was on. I'll tell you about that tonight. War was on. We thought maybe we'd never get to spend time together. Back in those days, people loved each other. They got married when they could because they're afraid they'd never come back. We stood there in the pastor's study. I think about 6 of us. Her mother and dad, my mother and my sister. I think that's all that was there. We said our vows. I have one problem. The pastor said to me, repeat after me these words. And he ended it with saying, love and cherish. And I said, love and cherish. That's this part. He looked at Miss Hiles. He said, say these words, and he ended it with love, cherish, and obey. And she said, to love and cherish. And she's lived with that promise all these years. We didn't know what the threshing machine was going to do to our lives. We didn't know the nights we'd go to bed and cry ourselves to sleep. We didn't understand that. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If God had wanted me to be just the flavoring and not use a big instrument of threshing on me, I'd have said, glory to God, I don't want to suffer. I never have wanted to suffer. You've heard me say this time and time again. I'd rather be in the Guinness Book of Records than the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't want to suffer. I'm like the Japanese airplane pilot. Asked him, interviewed him on the radio not long ago, said, what's your name? He said, my name is Charmaine. Said, what were you in the war? He said, a kamikaze pilot. That's the suicide squad. Said, how come you're still alive? He said, me chicken chow mein. And me chicken chow mein, too. I don't like to suffer. But I tell you what I'd like to do. Only to be what he wants me to be. Every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone. Every step of this pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hands. Ready to do what his will commands. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. I'm saying, if God had said to me, be a fragrance, I'm not going to cause you to suffer a great deal. I'd have said, hot dog. Because I'd rather not suffer. But if God says, I want you to have to suffer some, I'm not going to use a little stick on you. I'm not going to use a rod on you. I've got to use the big threshing machine. Okay, glory to God. That means that if he wants me to be threshed, if he wants me to suffer, if he wants me to lose one of my eyes so I can be the best high school principal in America, you understand what these people go through on this platform up here and what great men of God go through across America. I'm saying, if God wants to bruise you a little bit to make you a fit, okay. He wants to bruise you more to make you a coming, okay. But if God wants to make you the bread, say, hallelujah, I'm suffering for Jesus' sake. Kid with this boy right here a lot. I kid with him a lot. Because I love him a lot. Nobody knows what this boy's going through. He's wondered many a day if his wife was going to live or not. That's not the only heartache he's been through. But God had to say to Roy Moffat, I want you to head a great bus ministry. I want you to challenge people across America to build a bus ministry. I can't use just a little stick on you, Roy. I can't use just a rod on you. I've got to take the old steel threshing machine. I've got to use the threshing machine. God love you. For the boy. He did the same thing that those of you have done that have two good eyes. Same thing. He simply said, God, if you want me to be the fragrance, use the little stick. If you want me to be the flavoring, pick the bigger stick, pick the rod. But dear God, if you want me to do something bigger, take the old threshing machine out. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy when the doctor said it's cancer. It wasn't easy when the doctor said it's got to come out. It wasn't easy when the operation was there. It's not easy now. It's not easy now wondering if maybe it'll happen in the other eye. But God said, I want to make the best high school principal in America. You don't do that with little sticks. You don't do it with bigger rods. You do it with a threshing, thank you, the threshing instrument. And I could go on and on. The hospital this morning. Fighting to live is Lynn Smith. And right beside him is Iva Mae Smith. Nobody knows the heartache they've been through. Nobody knows. I've watched you suffer for 36 years. I've caught your tears. I've tried to counsel with you. I've tried to encourage you. And this man is sat beside you in the hospitals. And God bless this good man. We've pastored you, all of us have, for these years. We know your suffering. We know your heartache. But I want to tell you something. If I could cause you to quit suffering, I wouldn't do it. Because God's got something big he wants you to do. Just yield yourself. So, observation. Number one, yield yourself. Number two, realize that everybody can't be corn. Somebody's got to be seasoning, flavoring. Somebody's got to be fragrance. Number three, if God wants you to be a fragrance, accept it and be the best fragrance you can. And whatever little threshing he has to give you, accept it. If God wants you to be flavoring, and then accept more punishment and more threshing. If God wants you to be the bread, then accept it. Just yield and accept it.
But here's the sad thing about it. Listen carefully. The fishes complain more than the bread does. The grappers are not the bread. The grappers are the fishes. The ones that gripe are the ones that are beaten like this.
I don't care about that. My child was mistreated at Hammond Baptist School. Little old Rod.
The guy that's been hit and hit and hit. I recall Mrs. Evans was in the hospital, Mayo. She planned her funeral. Asked me to sing. His house to preach. She's better at hers than I am at mine. I can do a real mean. It will be worth it all. But I called her on the phone. I was somewhere preaching. I called her on the phone. It's all over. She's planned her funeral. She said, I'm not going to have more surgery. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth it. I'm not going through that chemotherapy again. It's not worth it. I called on the phone. I said, Ms. Evans, how you doing? She told me. She said, I tell you what. She said, this chemotherapy and all this medicine makes me dopey. And I said, Ms. Evans, I've known you a long time. And you were dopey a long time before you ever got cancer. She started laughing. Hung up the phone. She said, let's have the surgery. And brother, I won't guarantee you, ever since that threshing machine's been hitting on her, she's been a different lady, and she's gone around the country blessing people. All over this room, I see Judge Clement back there and his family. God bless that dear family. They've been through it. What soldiers, what troopers, what a testimony! God used that good judge all over this county. You don't understand what that man, how that man stood for God. I'm simply saying this morning, if you're privileged not to have to suffer a great deal, and if you're privileged not to, if God has just used a small stick on you, I think you'll be glad about that. Don't walk up and say, God, get that threshing. Not me, buddy. If you can use that stick, I'd rather have that stick any time. But if God has chosen you for something bigger, and God's pulled out the old threshing machine, He keeps on hitting you. Say, thank God. All day yesterday, I sang Amazing Grace. And I sang that stanza the most. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Tis grace that led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. So yield yourself. Accept it if God wants you to be threshed by the threshing machine, and don't complain. If God wants you to be a fragrance, rejoice that you don't, and enjoy the lesser of the threshing instruments. But I'm talking a lot of people today. That's what's been yours. I look around and see you all in the building. This has been your life. Now to some people, this has been your life. There's that pen I lost a while ago. Some people. That's been your life. Some people. Now I can't get down. Throw that to me. Some people.